Hello and welcome to At the Table with Gail. I'm Peter Fleming and I'm introducing Gail Hall. But poor old Gail today, she's come limping in with a crutch. But in the true traditions of the cookery show, the show must go on. Hello, Gail.
Hello. Yes, the show must go on. So, yes, we came up in the lift. It was a bit shaky to start with, but never mind. We're here now, and we're going to talk about cooking.
So, what have you done though? Everybody will be on the edge of their seats now.
What have I done? What, cooking, or my knee?
To your leg, to your knee.
Oh, well, I'm not quite sure. It's my knee, and I'm going to get it looked at, and we'll see what happens after that. But definitely having a crutch is useful and helpful.
Yeah, good. Well, look, we've put a stool for you up against the cooker. So you're not standing still. You can sit.
Well, I came into the studio today, folks, and waiting for me, if I'm allowed to mention it, is a beautiful piece of the next recipe that we're going to be giving you. And I must admit, I said to Peter, I'm going to take a bite of this, and I have, and honestly, it's just left such a lovely taste in my mouth. And this particular recipe, which I'm not going to tell you what it is at the moment, because, you know, when we actually give it to you, I'll let Peter talk about it. But I'm just letting you know, I've had a bite, and it's certainly one for the books.
Very tantalising.
Very tantalising. But we're going to start off today with slow cooker, hearty chicken and corn chowder. And beautiful illustration, I might add. But we're starting off with 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 medium onion chopped finely, 2 bacon rashers chopped coarsely, 1 stalk of celery trimmed and chopped finely, 3 sprigs of fresh thyme, 2 bay leaves, 1.1 kg whole chicken, excess fat removed, 2 corn cobs, obviously the husk and the silks removed, you don't put those in the pot, and cut in half, or you can use frozen corn. 500 grams of potatoes peeled, cut in 2 pieces. 1.5, which is about 6 cups of chicken stock, 1 cup of milk, 2 tablespoons of corn flour, and 1/3 cup of fresh chives. Now, what we're going to do first is heat the oil in a 4.5 litre slow cooker. Now, I was trying to imagine that because I've actually got a slow cooker, but I'm not sure whether it's, don't think it's an 18-cup one, but it seems to be quite a large one, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, just follow the recipe and see how you go, because you can fill them right up to the brim because they actually don't boil over, which is, you know, marvellous, really.
I've never used one.
And oh, they're fantastic. So what we're doing is putting it on high, the cooker on high setting. Cook the onion, bacon, celery, thyme and bay leaves, stirring for 5 minutes or until the vegetables soften. Add the chicken, corn cobs, potato and stock. Now you're cooking that covered on low for 7 hours or until the chicken is tender. So that's 7 hours. We've talked about this before. You can do it before you go off somewhere. No fear of it burning, no fear of it boiling over. Just leave it for 7 hours on low and just absolutely beautiful. What we're doing is carefully removing the chicken and corn from the slow cooker. Shred the chicken coarsely using 2 forks. We've talked about that before. It actually comes apart lovely with the 2 forks. Discard the skin and bones. Using a small sharp knife, cut the kernels from the corn cobs and discard the cobs. So you're just, you know, running them down. Stir the milk and corn flour in a small bowl until combined. And what I find with that, Peter, with the corn flour and the milk, I always just put the little bit of corn flour in first, or, you know, the corn flour. So it does make it that sort of, it doesn't have lumpies. So I put the corn flour in and very little moisture so that you've got a paste and then you haven't got a paste by adding the rest of the milk.
And it always has to be cold milk.
That's right. It combines really well. Now return the chicken and corn to the cooker with the corn flour mixture. Increase the heat back to high and simmer uncovered for 10 minutes or until the chowder thickens slightly. and seasoned taste. And now serve that chowder sprinkled with fresh chives, which looks lovely, and you can have either crackers or toast if desired. Now, this looks absolutely beautiful.
Oh, wholesome. Yeah, very tempting.
Very tempting.
Mm.
And the 1.5, it says whole chicken. I mean, I don't know. Does a chicken come in that light?
Well, I'm looking at myself, and every time you come with these recipes, I try to look at them through the eyes of somebody who maybe somebody's only one lives on their own or something like that. And often your recipes are pretty large, sort of feed a family. And I thought, well, if you didn't want to use a whole chicken, could you not just buy a couple of chicken quarters or something, skin
well, you
on,
probably
bone
could,
in,
yes.
And reduce everything, you know, 500 grams of potatoes is quite a bit. I mean, you could just scale this down, couldn't you?
Well, you could scale it down, but then again, Peter, I mean, I know that what you've made, you put a little bit aside in the freezer or something like that, don't you?
Well, yeah, but if you don't want to do that, I find that a bit of a nuisance.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Oh, well, I'd find it great because there we are. We're opposites.
All right.
I find it great because if I cooked this and there was a lot left over, I would probably get my little wee plastic containers, which Peter's bought me my piece of beautiful loaf in, and then I would, you know, freeze it for another time. So it's up to you, but you could scale it down quite easily.
In a slow cooker.
And it'd probably cook in the same time anyway.
Yeah, probably. Have you tried shredding a chicken like that with two forks?
Yes, I have.
Does it work all right?
Yes, it does. Oh. Mm, it does. That's a whole chicken. Like if you've got a whole chicken, you can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm.
Well, that sounds nice on a cold winter's
day. It does look
that,
and it looks lovely in these lovely little individual pots with those chives on the top. Looks very lovely.
And again, it's not expensive, is it, to make?
No.
It's just the chicken. That's why I was thinking, well, if you could use a chicken.
Mm. I'm just thinking, you know, since you sort of said, well, I'm not going to, you know, it's too much or something, I might make it, I might even share it with the Flemings.
Oh, I see.
I should be feeling better next week. I hope I am. Yeah, I hope I feel good, but it's just my mobility. But anyway, that's that one, Peter. We're going to move on to the mystery loaf.
Oh, the mystery loaf. This week's mystery loaf.
This week's mystery loaf. Well, it is. It's spiced apple and parsnip loaf with sour cream drizzle. Now, I couldn't. The size of the piece that he's given me is quite large, but it obviously makes quite a large loaf.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a standard loaf tin. And if you remember the one I made last week, which I can't even remember. Oh, the one with sultanas in.
That's right. Oh, the Earl Grey, but you used, a different type of tea.
Yeah, I think that came out about, 3 centimetres deep. And this one's come out about 4.
Oh,
same
more
size
than,
tin.
Oh, I would say it's probably more than that.
Right, 4.5. Give
yeah,
you
4.5.
But it's all just in loaf tin. It cooks really nicely.
Yeah. And I know that it's, you know, parsnip. If you haven't got parsnips or you can't get any, it does work well with apple and pear. But I think the parsnip is intriguing, you know. How did you get on grating it?
Oh, that was a doddle. Yeah, that was fine because you can just grab hold of it and grate it. And, of course, grater just...
It did grate because when
I first read
this, I thought, I've never grated a parsnip. I wonder what would that be like.
I hadn't. And, of course, you do it on the fine grating side that you normally do parmesan cheese and stuff on. And,
what? Truly? Not on the large coarse one?
No, because it specifically says in your recipe... One medium apple, coarsely grated, do that on the coarse bit. One medium parsnip, peeled and finely grated.
That's what I asked. Why I asked you, how did it grate?
Fine, absolutely, you know, just grated, whizzed away on the fine grate, on the fine gratey bit.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, excellent.
That's probably why it's got a lovely texture. I'm looking at it now. Yes. You wouldn't even know parsnip was in there.
Well, you wouldn't know. There's no colouring, of course.
No. But anyway, I'm going to get on with the recipe and share it with you because this is a big up on this one. 1 3/4 cups of plain flour, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of ground ginger, 1 teaspoon of mixed spice. So quite a bit of spices there, and you could actually taste them, but it's not overpowering. It's really just lovely. It's got a lovely balance. 1 1/2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 apple coarsely grated, 1 parsnip about 200 grams, so a medium one, peeled and finely grated, as you just heard Peter say, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't too bad to do that little process. 150 mils of olive oil or melted butter, half a cup of plain yogurt, half a cup of raw sugar, 3 eggs and 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract.
I used oil, by the way, not melted butter.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
But then you stand and scratch your head and you say, oh, do I use vegetable oil or olive oil? I use vegetable oil. I thought that was...
Oh, it's, you know...
Well, olive oil has quite a bit of flavour with it, doesn't it?
It does,
so
yeah.
So I thought, oh, I'll stick to ordinary oil then.
Yeah, yeah, no, very good.
It worked really
nicely. It's like coconut oil, actually.
Oh,
it's got quite a definite sort of smell and taste as well. Now, the sour cream drizzle, which I think Peter had a bit of fun with, 2 tablespoons of sour cream, 1 teaspoon of soft butter, half a cup of icing sugar, and 2 to 3 teaspoons of lemon juice. Okay, so that was the sour cream drizzle, which is really beautiful because there's quite a bit stuck in the crevices at the top, and all that looks really sticky and lovely. Preheat the oven. We're getting excited.
I was going to say, calm down.
Preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Grease and line a loaf tin, or you can actually use a round cake tin, but it's less cooking. So let's just stick to the loaf tin. In a large mixing bowl, combine the flour, spices, baking powder, baking soda, and salt. Whisk to combine to aerate and remove lumps. Grate the apple and squeeze the juice into a separate mixing bowl. How did you get on with that?
Now, watch that, because I nearly missed that step and I nearly threw it in as it was.
I had to read it twice.
Yeah. It's fine. I mean, I grated it onto a board and I just picked up a handful and squeezed it, and it lots and lots of juice came out.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think it's... I think you've got to do it, really.
Yeah. Well, when I was reading the method and then it said add juice, and I thought, went back to the recipe and I thought, there's no juice in this.
I think I did the same thing.
Did you do the same? Yes. And then I thought, read it again, Gail.
Yeah, where's
and
the juice
then,
come from?
I tell you what, you've got to read these twice sometimes. So you're squeezing that apple juice into a separate bowl, and as the squeezed apple and squeezed apple and the grated parsnip to the dry ingredients bowl, tossing to distribute evenly.
Yeah, I think if the juice went in at that stage, it would get a bit claggy, as we say. So it did actually then mix quite nicely with the dry stuff.
Oh, right. You're listening to a man of experience. Now, to the bowl with the squeezed apple juice, add the oil or melted butter, yogurt, sugar, eggs, and vanilla, and whisk well to combine. Pour the wet ingredients into the dry ingredients bowl and use a spatula to mix until just combined. Avoid overmixing for a tender crumb.
That worked quite well. I used a flat sort of spatula thing. And, you know, you've got this pile of dry stuff and then all this, but it just... very easily mixed, just gently mixed in.
And that's what they're talking about, a tender crumb. Now, I've got to look at that because it is, and I've had a big bite out of it, and it is a very tender crumb. It's not totally solid, if you know what I mean.
No, I was quite pleased with the way it was.
Very good.
Aerated.
Yeah. Scoop the batter into the prepared tin and bake for 45 to 50 minutes until a skewer inserted comes out clean. Now, can I ask you, Peter, did you cook it for that required amount?
No, I did it for 40. I'm always a bit wary of these. Our oven is a sort of fan-assisted thing. So I think I did it at about 170. And I checked it at 40, bunged a skewer, and it came out dry, so that was it. And I think you'll agree it's nicely cooked.
Oh, okay. That's good. So I was very interested because we do sometimes watch our temperatures and we give them maybe 5 minutes less or 5 minutes more. You know, it's what you do. Now, when that is cooked, you cool in the tin for 10 minutes, then transfer it to a cake rack to cool completely. Once the loaf has cooled, make the sour cream drizzle. And you're combining the ingredients in a bowl, the ingredients that I've given you, mixing well to remove lumps. Add extra lemon juice to loosen if needed. And drizzle the icing over the loaf, letting it drip down the sides. That must have looked really lovely. I hope you got a picture of it.
Oh, I have, yeah. Well, it doesn't look like anything, actually. Because this is so thin, this thing, once you've made it. Although it says add extra lemon juice, I'm sure I put the right amount in. I added extra icing sugar to try and thicken it up a bit.
Oh.
And then when you pour it on the top, it's virtually translucent and just went, wee, I'm off, and ran off. Ran off the top onto the
and
bench.
And down to the sides.
Yes.
Didn't go down the sides. Oh, it must have looked quite pretty
but
at the time.
As you say, the flavour remains there. I think you'd be better off with a typical frosting or something.
Oh, okay. And then what you're doing is, it drips down the sides as Peter went and it went on his bench. He probably licked his fingers and picked it up like that. But cover and set aside for an hour for the icing to set.
Well, that was the problem. I mean, it still hasn't really set. It just goes sticky. But the flavour is very nice.
Yeah.
And I think it does need the lemon, but...
No. Well, that is our recipe there, and it's been a total success. And you'll probably see a picture of it on our website.
Yes, I did take
Facebook.
One, yeah. So yeah. I'll pass it over.
Yeah, so please.
Yeah, I mean, the fascinating thing being the fact that it was made with a parsnip.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we've used beetroot. We've used parsnip. So I might have to have a look for pumpkin. Well, we've used pumpkin in one of our dishes. I'm not sure. But
can you make a potato cake?
Well, you probably can, but it'd be savoury. I don't think it'd be sweet. No. But that is very, very nice, Peter. I commend you.
Good. Right. Thank you very much. Well, here we are. We've reached that time of the programme where we need a bit of music. Now, what I'd done, Gail, I'd found to commemorate the parsnip, I found there is actually an Australian group called Parsnip.
I don't know how you do that.
Well, you just Google it. Good old Mr. Google. So or Mrs. Google. So I've got that already. Then, of course, we've had this problem with your leg. So I realise there's no point in putting anything on that needs any leg movement to
no.
because so we don't need to get out on the dance floor today. So there's only one track, isn't there, that we could play today?
Hand jive?
Hand jive.
Oh my goodness me. Clear the table.
All around, cause the bebop storm was about to arrive. Mama gave birth to the hand jive.
Well, there we are, Gail. You carry on keeping your foot up, and that was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
You didn't hurt your hands at all, did you?
Well, actually, they've got quite warm, to be quite honest, with all that hand jiving, yeah, and clapping and everything. So I'm all ready to go for this famous lemon loaf that was supposed to be last session, but we actually didn't have any time for it. So you've got two loaves today, but this is the famous lemon loaf. And I was going to make it, but standing out in the kitchen wasn't ideal for me at the moment. So we've got a crumb topping with this, and it's 1/4 cup of self-raising flour, 2 tablespoons of caster sugar, and 2 tablespoons of vegan margarine, which I've actually got in my fridge, and I thought this is perfect for me to make this because I've actually got it. And if you want to make it gluten-free, well, you could probably actually replace that self-raising flour with maybe almond flour or gluten-free flour, and some, most of the baking powder is gluten-free, I might add. I bought a special jar of it once, gluten-free, but I noticed on the Edmonds pack, dare I mention that, it is gluten-free. I'm sure of that.
But it's worth knowing, isn't it?
It is, yeah, worth knowing. So the loaf batter is 1/4 cup of fresh lemon juice plus the zest of 2 lemons, 1/2 cup of plant milk such as cashew or almond milk. And I don't mind almond milk. I'm not sure about cashew, but if I was making this, I was going to buy a little wee almond milk. 115 grams of the vegan margarine again, 200 grams of caster sugar, 225 grams of self-raising flour. And for the syrup, 1/3 cup of caster sugar and 1/3 cup of fresh lemon juice. So a few lemons involved in there. So if you've got a lovely lemon tree, this is perfect. Now you're preheating your oven to 175 degrees Celsius and you are lining a small loaf tin. Make the crumb topping by combining the flour and sugar, then rubbing in the margarine with your fingertips to form a crumb, and just set that aside. Now start on the batter. Combine the lemon juice and milk in a small bowl and leave to sit. Meanwhile, melt the margarine and add it to a mixing bowl with the sugar and mix until creamy. Add the lemon and milk mixture and the lemon zest to the margarine and sugar and stir until smooth. Then add the flour and mix slowly until fully incorporated. Pour into a lined loaf tin, sprinkle with the crumb and bake for 40 minutes or until a skewer comes out clean. When it's nearly done, prepare the syrup. To make the lemon syrup, mix the caster sugar and lemon juice in a microwave safe bowl and microwave for 30 seconds, then stir again. As soon as the loaf comes out of the oven, poke holes all over with a fork, pour the syrup over and leave to sit in the tin to soak. This is an essential step that ensures that the syrup seeps through the cake and leaves you with a nice, moist, lemony loaf. Once the loaf has been soaking for at least an hour, remove from the tin and enjoy. So that's very, very lemony.
It's I can't quite figure out if it's supposed to be a vegan recipe or not. Why does it refer to all this vegan margarine?
Well what, because yeah, so, they don't have butter. Vegans don't have butter. And so basically that's one of the main ingredients. And, of course, they don't have cow's milk.
No.
So there's the milk for a start.
Oh, so we satisfy the vegan side, but not necessarily the gluten.
No, that's right. See, a lot of people that are even dairy free can have gluten. So basically, you can look at it both ways. It could be I consider it a vegan recipe because it's not worrying about the gluten in the flour, but you could make it gluten-free, couldn't you?
You could. I see what you mean. Yeah, that's interesting.
Because
yeah,
you can actually buy gluten-free self-raising flour.
Can you?
Yeah, but for me, you'd have to be using it often. I do keep various flours, and I have got gluten-free flour, but more often than not, when I use gluten-free flour, so you've got 225 grams there. That's quite a bit of flour. So I would mix it with rice flour, almond meal, because the gluten-free flour itself, there's something about it. I think you've got to mix it with something.
There's flour and there's flour, I found.
There's flour and there's flour. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
It all looks the same, but boy.
No, that's right. Except, well, the almond meal looks a bit different. But basically, you could turn that in, but at the moment we're looking at it as a vegan.
Well, anyway, looking at it as a whole, it actually looks rather tasty, I must admit. Mm. I like the idea of the crumb topping that you
put
on.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you put it on the bottom. So I'm putting that aside because I really intended to bring that in this week, and I haven't been able to. But watch this space because I have to now compete with the parsnip loaf.
I am watching that space. I've got a very tight eye on it now.
What's that? You've what?
I've got a tight eye on the space, the space where the lemon cake's going to go.
Oh, okay, okay. So this one at the end here today, I've basically, it's a very simple one and it's very short, but I love baked apples, but these are baked caramel apples. And honestly, it's a wonderful way to use up apples. I know there's a lot of Granny Smiths around at the moment. So basically, this is really, really nice, simple, and you can freeze it or, you know, whatever. You can just stick it in your fridge and have it for your breakfast 5 days a week. But you need about 5 apples, which is about 700 grams, a juice of half a lemon, a knob of butter, about 20 grams, 1 heaped tablespoon of flour, 1 tablespoon of golden syrup, a quarter of a cup of well-packed brown sugar, a pinch of salt, if you like salted caramel flavour, a pinch of salt, but a little bit more if you like that salted caramel, and 2/3 of a cup of hot water. Now, heat the oven to 190 degrees Celsius. Peel the apples and cut into eighths. I quite smiled at myself with that one because I thought, well, yes, you could cut it in half, then cut it in quarters, then you've got to cut it in quarters again. So there you are. You can do it how you like.
No problem with your maths.
Place in a baking dish and toss with the lemon juice. In a saucepan, melt the butter, add the flour and mix to a roux, which is, you know, what we do when we do our sauce, our cheese sauce, but we don't mix it to a roux. But I think in this case, I think you should because it's slightly different. Add the golden syrup, brown sugar and salt, then pour slowly the water into there, whisking until thickened. So you're just doing that as you would a cheese sauce, but except it's water and other ingredients. So you are making a sauce out of this. Simmer for 1 minute to cook off the flour. So that's basically what you're doing. Then drizzle the sauce over the prepared apples. Now bake for 20 to 25 minutes. Whoops, is that 25 to 30, beg your pardon, and stirring halfway through cooking. Once the apples are tender and the sauce is bubbling, it's ready to enjoy. Now this is lovely with hot, with Greek yogurt, vanilla, or hokey pokey ice cream. And looks, well, I thought it looked lovely, and this is one I would make, and it's quite easy. And look, honestly, if you're really serious about liking this, you could actually just double that recipe, and we could freeze some.
Yeah, it certainly would, wouldn't it? Yeah,
it certainly would.
Oh, so yeah,
Peter won't freeze it, of course, but I mean, you know, it's, no, but I think this is a great dish, and I think the caramel sauce just sets it off other than ordinary, you know, baked apples.
And as you say, with a bit of ice cream melted over the top.
Hokey pokey. Oh, yes, lovely. Yeah, so baked caramel apples, simple dessert. That's all I can say.
That's good. Yeah. Well, there we are. Bad knee or no bad knee. You got through the program, Gail.
Yes.
You're a trooper.
Oh, thank you. Enjoyed it.
Nice stuff. Right, okay, Gail. Well, thank you very much indeed. That's been nice. Best of luck with your doctor's appointment this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Get yourself sorted out. Hope to see you skipping in here again next week, like you always do. Well, sort of do.
Yeah, well, I do. Yeah, I've got usually a bit more energy, but I'm just looking at this cake. I can't wait to have a decent bit with a cup of coffee. It looks, if you don't make this, listeners, there's something wrong. It looks fabulous and tastes good.
And it'll do your leg good. Right, yeah. See you next week, Gail.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.